live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins again. Rome, if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful mid-April weekend wherever you happen to be. Where do we happen to be? Well, of course, last week we were coming to you from the Hotel Goldenhurst in Salzburg, Austria. Since then, we're living on about 16 different planes. And crisscrossing just about 9 different time zones if you actually add it up. Get out your maps, boys and girls. We're at 30 degrees, 16 minutes north, 87 degrees, 42 minutes west. We're coming to you from Orange Beach, Alabama, and the Perdido Resort. And taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And why are we coming to you from Orange Beach, Alabama? Well, hard to believe it's been a long, strange journey, but it's hard to believe it's been a year since the oil spill last year, coming up on about 3 days. And so much has happened since then. And in a certain respect, thankfully, so much hasn't happened since then. But look at some of these numbers. Tourism revenue, just from lodging in Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, down $100 million in that peak summer season alone. Right here where we are in the Gulf Shores, Alabama lodging down over 41%. And when you think about the tax base here and how much is generated from revenues from resorts and hotels, that had a staggering impact on state budgets, of course. Then BP kicked in with a lot of money. Alabama got a $38 million grant, most of it from BP. Louisiana got a $48 million grant. And you know what that was for a lot? Promoting seafood industry and testing the seafood. We're talking about the fact that at the time of the spill, they closed over 87,000 square miles of ocean for fishing. The seafood, in fact, since then has been probably the most tested stock in the world. They've done about 300,000 samples. And the good news is that an overwhelming majority, no trace of either oil or dispersant. And they've reopened all of that to fishing. There's only about, you know, 0.4% of that land, or that land mass, which is actually water, that's still closed. Not a bad deal. And where we were last year, you know, I remember waking up in the morning and seeing these big orange booms in the ocean. It was really disconcerting. A lot of tarballs washing up on the beach. This year, that number way down. You got to put it in perspective. In the last 2 weeks alone, you still have these response teams all over the beach. Earlier this morning, we saw a lot of them going up and down the beach, and it's like every single day to make sure it's clean. In the last 2 weeks alone, they've recovered about 9,600 pounds of tarballs, but they recovered them and gotten them off the beach. The cool thing is that is a small percentage of what it was a year ago. And as a result of all that, and we'll talk a lot about that a little bit later in the show, it's a buyer's market for people who want to come down here as they try to recover. A lot of deals in hotels and resorts, a lot of what I call bookend deals, where they actually let you be a volunteer vacationer and help up, not with just the cleanup, but even going back as far as Katrina in New Orleans. So that's a pretty good deal and something that we should be thinking about. Now, we'll get back to that in a minute because we got a lot of stuff to talk about in the news. First and foremost, and you know what? I mean, with all due symbolism, not respected. I mean, you know, the government likes to throw people under the bus, and in this case, it was the FAA's air traffic chief. After all these guys, they had two or three different incidents of controllers sleeping on the job, so the FAA traffic chief, you know, has to resign. Where's the real problem here? Guys were sleeping? No. Why were they sleeping? The reason why they were sleeping is that there's a 17% understaffing situation. Where guys are pulling double shifts and a job that should only have a single shift, maybe because it's such a high tense job. I mean, why would you fire the chief when they haven't hired the people? It's not his fault. It's the agency's fault. Let's go back to 1981, where you had Ronald Reagan firing those air traffic controllers. They were then replaced. Well, 25 years later, they retired. Well, guess when that 25-year period was? 2006, 5 years ago, and the FAA, I think, which takes Quaaludes to get up in the morning, they never moved fast enough to realize that they had an attrition problem. And, you know, you can't become an air traffic controller by going to the Columbia School of Air Traffic Control, filling out the matchbox, and then sitting at the screen. That's a Jerry Lewis movie. You have to work 3 years with another controller before they'll even let you sit at the screen by yourself. It is totally intense. And so we're dealing with a staff shortage at almost every major air traffic control center in this country. And then you may remember the accident in Lexington, Kentucky a couple of years ago where two Comair pilots didn't just pick the wrong runway. They tried to take off on a taxiway at 5:30 in the morning because they had no sleep and they weren't being controlled properly because the controller, there weren't two in the tower, there's only one, and he was already heavily tasked with other things. And a lot of people died in that crash. Well, as a result of that crash, 5 years ago, the FAA announced they're never going to allow less than one person in the tower at any one time. So look what happened at Reagan. Not only was there only one guy there, and not only was he sleeping, but the wildest thing happened. Both pilots, one of an American Airlines plane and one of a United plane, when they got no response from the controller, they landed anyway. Hello? Everybody's violating policy now. If you call in for an approach control and a clearance and you don't get an answer, that should give you like the slightest indication that something's wrong. Just a minute little indication. And at that point, you divert the plane. Maybe there were aliens taking over the airport. Maybe there was, you know, a tsunami. I mean, maybe their electricity got knocked out. You don't know. Policy dictates you do the common sense and prudent thing and divert to Baltimore or Dulles, but they landed anyway. So all things went wrong. And so guess what? The FAA's air traffic control chief resigns, and they launch a sweeping study of the problem. You don't need a sweeping study of the problem. You need a sleeping study of the problem. And you also need to do the basic math. If you don't have enough people working, guess what? You're going to end up with one guy in the tower and people sleeping. It's a no-brainer. A ninth grader could figure that one out, which maybe means they should actually appoint a ninth grader to take over his job. He'd do a better job because you don't need a committee. You don't need a commission. You don't need a study to realize, you know, look, if you're trying to field a National League or an American League baseball team and you only have seven guys on the team, you forfeit the game. You know, you don't have to do the math to figure that one out. So we have a real big issue here, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, simply because we're coming into the summer travel season. There needs to be a rule, and the rule needs to be enforced. That's the problem. There are rules. They weren't applied. You can never have less than two guys in the tower at one time, at any time, and one guy has to double-check the other. That's like asking to have one pilot on the plane. You know, what happens if he falls asleep? And by the way, if you've been in cockpits of planes, these guys are sleeping all the time, but at least you have one guy who's not. And I know if I was flying the airline, I'd want at least two other guys in the cockpit because 15 minutes of the flight, I'm sorry, you may not want to fly on my airline, I'd be sleeping because it's tedious. Remember, pilots don't fly planes anymore. They just monitor systems. And what are these air traffic guys doing at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night where there's not that much traffic? They're either playing Angry Birds or they're sleeping. And we can fix that by adding more people in the tower, qualified people in the tower. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our good friend George Hobuck, who's going to talk about airfares in general. And where are they going? I'm sorry to say, up, up, and away. More from the Perdido Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama. Peter Greenberg here, right back after this. Don't go sleeping on me now.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER, give us your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we will solve it right here on the air. And by the way, I do this every week at this time. I encourage you to go to our website with the most imaginative name on the planet, petergreenberg.com, for one important reason. We have a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that hard and essential work in Japan, in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile, and in New Zealand. Hard to believe, 5 places in 2 years with such devastation. The rebuilding efforts in Haiti alone will take another 8 years. And what's very important about this website listing is that it's going to give you about 30 different organizations that you can get actively involved with up close and personal. It's not just about donating your money on your cell phone, even though the Red Cross got over $45 million for Haiti on that one. Always money well spent and well appreciated. I'm talking about a volunteer vacation where you get up close and personal and bring something to the party. Whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, an Indian chief, you have something to bring to this party and help out in so many different ways. So please check out our website, petergreenberg.com, and look at that list. You might be pleasantly surprised about all the points of common ground you've got. Speaking of that, you can sign up for our regular newsletter. It's free. Just go to the same website. It's delivered every single day. We update it every 18 hours. We're not transactional. We're informational. And it proves the point about what this show is all about. Travel is news. Let's go right to the phones. We got Nathan on the phone out there in Bryan, Texas. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Good. How can I help you today?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to figure out the real story behind all these SPACs I get. That's a spam on the fax machine that they're corporate travel, $199, 4 days, five, you know.
I know what it
nights,
is.
Cruises. I mean, too good to be true normally is. Is that the real story?
You've already answered your own question there, Nathan. What it is this, and it's not always the case, but I would be very wary of them. And the reason for that is they will price out a cruise at $199, and then there's some kind of fine print in there that basically says you have to book your airfare through them to get to the ship. And that's where they get you because, you know, by booking your airfare through them, you're paying $1,200 to get to the ship where you'd normally have to pay only $400. Next thing you know, they're making money and you got hosed. If they are a reputable travel agency, they would be affiliated with ASTA. They'd have a better Business Bureau ranking. I'm assuring that. Do they want you to call an 800 number?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here's what you can do.
Within the next 10 minutes. Or
well, of course, it's always within the next 10 minutes. You know what? I bought so much stuff on the air doing that. You know, I have more absizers than you can imagine, and I never use them, by the way. So the bottom line is, if you're going to do any kind of travel, when you want to do that kind of stuff, I'm not telling you not to do it. What I am telling you to do is pay with a credit card. And here's where they get you on another scam. You may have to call within 10 minutes, but that cruise may not be leaving for 9 months. And under the Federal Credit Act, if you book something and pay for it with a credit card, and it has to, and you don't get the service to which you bought, well, it has to be within 60 days. Of the actual transaction for you to have your rights protected under the law. So anybody who wants you to pay in full more than 60 days ahead of time, they own your money by that time. So just remember that, okay?
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Anytime, Nathan, we appreciate the call. Speaking of airfares, hotel fares, cruise fares, our good friend George Hobica, the founder of AirfareWatchdog.com. Do you agree with what I just said, George?
Oh, yes, absolutely, Peter. I get those all the time, too, on my fax machine. I just delete them.
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean, there used to be the old days where they would tell you that you've won a free trip, and then you had to book the airfare through them. Or what it really was a very thinly disguised, really bad timeshare presentation. Or they told you that you won either a free trip, matching set of luggage, a Lincoln Continental, or a color TV. And, of course, you always won the trip. And the problem was they would take you down to a terrible hotel, and the next thing you know, you're spending money to upgrade. And you're spending money for airfare that you didn't even know you had to spend. So, if something, as Nathan said to us right on the radio, if it sounds too good to be true, here's a little news bulletin. It is.
Usually, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So now let's talk about some generally bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And that is with airlines cutting capacity, with airfares going up because of fuel charges to begin with, this could be a very long, hot summer.
Yeah, it's definitely fares have been creeping up. But talking about too good to be true, the airlines have had some sales that just are mind-blowing. And they're kind of like pop-up stores or pop-up restaurants. I call them pop-up fares. And they pop up and then they disappear. But if you grab them in time, they were just amazing. We saw they really look too good to be true. I'm talking about Philadelphia to Europe for $130 round trip, including tax. Now, if you saw that on your
wait a second,
machine,
including tax, that means that the airfare had to be a dollar.
Including tax. Now, and if you saw those on your fax machine, you'd think it was too good to be true. These fares lasted for a few hours. They've been coming pretty regularly, like every couple of months. We saw Southwest Newark to San Diego, Las Vegas, and San Francisco for $79 each way on Southwest for July travel. It lasted about 3 hours, and then it went back up to $400.
Well, I'll give you one, George. The other day, we had to get somebody from Los Angeles to Las Vegas for one of our radio shows, and I called the airline. These are coach tickets, and I said, how much is the airfare from Los Angeles to Las Vegas round trip? $440. Okay, for an airplane ride that lasts 38 minutes.
Right. Well,
then I had to get somebody else from Los Angeles to New York on the same day. Same airline. How much was that ticket? You ready?
Ready.
$278 round trip.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it? I mean, last-minute fares are up. By the way, Spirit Airlines, I'm sure it's one of your favorite airlines.
You already know it's not.
Yeah, as far as Los Angeles to Las Vegas for $2. Plus, tax, plus a convenience fee for using their website. But still, with everything, it's $39 round trip on a Tuesday or Wednesday. So they just started that service. People don't want to fly Spirit. I guess I would do it for a short flight. But
you know what? If it's a very short flight, I'm a member of the Witness Relocation Program, I have no luggage, and I'm homeless, I would take Spirit.
Right. But I think that the story is, yes, Peter, fares are going up. In some cases, they are astronomical. But I think they've reached a limit. I think that the consumer is staying home, or they're saying, how I'm going to drive. And we've seen some pullback on the fares. And we've also seen load factors on the airlines, that the number of seats filled per plane, go down. So I think that we're not going to see them go much, much higher. It's a great time to use your frequent flyer miles, too. I just got tickets to Europe on British Airways. They have an offer now, 100,000 miles on British Airways. You get their credit card, $95 a year. Sure, that's a lot of money, but 100,000 miles. I just got first-class tickets to Europe on the dates I wanted on British Airways. I had to pay taxes, but still, it's like a $14,000 fare.
George, I'm going to have to page Mr. Ripley because that qualifies under Believe It or Not.
I mean, the dates I wanted. I was surprised. I was very, very surprised, Peter, absolutely, because normally when I try to use British Airways miles, I don't get the dates. I got the exact dates I wanted in August in first class. It was also business class.
I have to tell you something. There are only about five people who have more mileage than I do, so all my mileage is suitable for framing because that's where it ends up going. Because
yep.
I can never get anywhere that I need to go except Des Moines at midnight on a Wednesday. I don't want to go there.
I was shocked. I said, this cannot be. In fact, I'm going to Venice, so I had to go and have connecting flights. I was Athens to Venice, and then I got exactly – there was one seat left for the Venice to London flights. I was able to stop over in London. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they've gotten so many complaints that they're loosening up their policy. But I was shocked. And
I got one for you. We've got the royal wedding coming up in less than 2 weeks, and you know what? London is not filling up. All these hotels have been doing over-the-top royal wedding packages, thinking that everybody's going to show up, like it's like an Olympics event. And you know what? They're not, unless you are a member of the royal family or a member of the royal wedding party and you're bringing all your friends and family to one particular hotel, there's a lot of empty hotel rooms in London right now, and you're going to see some discounting start to happen in the next 7 days that you won't believe. And maybe that's reflective of the fact that you got your airfare.
Possibly, yeah. I don't understand it. As you know, it's very hard to spend your miles in the summer, especially on certain fare classes. But I really encourage people to sign up for fare alerts. Just Google the term fare alert. And tweet. We tweeted these fares to Europe, these $130, $180 round trip with tax fares. Twitter. I thought when Twitter first came out, it was kind of a gimmick, but it is very interactive, very engaging. It's a way for people to learn information very, very quickly, much faster than email. Most fare alerts go out by email, but by the time they get generated, it's often too late, especially by the time people read their email. But if you follow Twitter, we're at Airfare Watchdog.
Exactly. Airfare Watchdog. Of course, you can always follow George by listening to our show. Go to our website. Of course, it's airfarewatchdog.com. George, thanks for joining us, man. I'm still amazed you got that mileage ticket. Amazing. Back with more from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama, right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama. You know, last year at this time, the federal agencies closed about 35% of the commercial fishing waters off the Gulf. Today, only about 0.4% of the waters are closed to fishing. They reopened over 87,000 square miles of fishing, which brings me to my next guest, because when you take a look at the fish stock out there, it's probably the most heavily tested fish stock in the world, over 300,000 samples taken, and remarkably, just staggeringly few results that showed any kind of signs of oil or dispersant. But even before the oil spill, my next guest was actively involved in trying to figure out how do we maintain a sustainable fish population, how do we still commercially fish and serve the public. His name, David Krebs. He's actually the one involved in a program off the Gulf of Mexico called the Reef Fish Shareholders Alliance. What is that, David?
Good morning, Peter. It's a collection of fishermen that belong to the catch share program for red snapper and groupers and tile fish in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, in 2007, we changed from a derby-style fishery to individual fishing quotas for red snapper. And then in 2010...
And you had to get the industry to get behind that.
The industry got behind it. It went with a referendum, a vote of the participants, the stakeholders, and was over 80% approved.
Now, you mentioned red snapper. To avoid some confusion, I carry one of those fish cards that tells you what kind of fish I should order at a restaurant and what kind of fish I shouldn't, for all sorts of important reasons. And red snapper, for most people, is on that list.
That's exactly right. Red snapper, unfortunately for us, is looked at on that list worldwide. And so very few countries have sustainable fishing plans in place. So red snapper is red-listed as a red snapper. So we're working to change that.
And right now, you heard me talk about the 300,000 samples of the fish that they've tested. Is the fish safe to eat here?
Absolutely.
But David, you're glowing. You have such a nice glow to you right now. No, I'm kidding. No, but clearly, a year ago, everybody, you including you, worried, really worried.
For sure. And we were very pleased that the government took the steps that they took to start immediately sampling the fish that were coming in, started sampling the areas around the wellhead to see what effects were having on the fish, if any. We thought that the government was very proactive at the time to make sure we didn't lose the consumer confidence or that we didn't put a poor product on the market or a tainted product on the market.
All right, so stupid question from me. I'm going to the supermarket or I'm going to the fish market. I want to buy fish for dinner. You know, you ask kids where food comes from today, they tell you the store. Nobody knows, right? How do I know where that fish has been? How do I track that fish and know that it's okay?
Well, you'd look for our new brand, the Gulf Wild brand. It's the product of the Shareholders Alliance. In 2007, we identified that we needed to separate Gulf-caught red snapper from the rest of the red snappers around the world. And the only way we could do that was with a tag. So we started the process for over a year before the oil spill of how do we tag these fish and make it trackable. And the oil spill came along. We were already a year into the ramp up of it. We just added some safety procedures to the program where we're sending off additional samples of these fish as they're caught. They're all inspected by the fishermen as they come across the rail. And when you go to your supermarket, you'll look for this Gulf Wild tag, which will have a sequential number in it that you can go to mygulfwild.com, enter that number, and see the fishermen that caught your fish, the port it was landed
Come
in.
Come on, really?
Track it right back to the source.
See, you basically have your own personal barcode here when you think about it.
That is the next generation tag. You're correct, sir. Barcoding is, we want to add that.
But this is like, basically you got a fish with a serial number on it.
That's what you have. Yes, sir.
Wow. Cool. And batteries are not included.
Batteries not included. And it is the first system in the Gulf to do this, and we're very proud of it.
Are you just concentrating just on the snapper?
Snappers, groupers, and tiles. And the reason for that is those are the fish that are currently managed under individual fishing quotas, that because they're under that management plan, they stand a better chance of getting that sustainability stamp that we all want from the environmental groups, the Monterey Bays, from the consumer. We want the consumer to know that this is a sustainably harvested fish with a good future.
So basically right now, as a commercial fisherman, you are limited to how many fish you can catch.
Absolutely.
And what is that limit?
Red snapper commercially right now is 3.5 million pounds.
Per
industry for the entire Gulf
of Mexico. So you guys have to kind of basically pick out the pieces of the pie.
Well, when we went to the individual fishing quota, we were given an allocation based upon 10 of our 12 years of history. So some fishermen might have 10,000 pounds to catch a year. Some fishermen might have 60,000 pounds based upon.
They average it out?
Yes, sir.
So if you just were just getting involved in the business, you got a quota of like 5 fish.
Well, you have the opportunity to go buy quota. And the problem is we were told throughout the 90s that we had to control our effort. Because otherwise you have these derbies where everybody races out to catch fish. They bring them in all at once. The market is saturated. Then there's no fish. So the only solution that we could as fishermen come up with was split the fish up. Let each individual fisherman be responsible for when he harvested his fish. Give him the whole year to do it.
You have a website?
Yes, sir. MyGulfWild.com.
MyGulfWild.com. You come down here to Alabama, you go shopping for fish, and you get a souvenir. Not just the fish, you get the tag.
Absolutely.
All right. David Krebs from the Reef Fish Shareholders Alliance. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, Peter.
Happy eating, too. We'll be back with more from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama, with our good friend Roger Dow right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 43 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama. On just about the one-year anniversary of the notorious BP oil spill here in the Gulf, and lots of changes since then. But shifting gears, you know, yesterday I was in Madrid flying here. That's not an easiest flight connection possible, but we made it. But I was reminded, going through security in Madrid, how pathetic our security really is, how wasteful it is, how ineffective it is, and how nothing's really changed that much since not just Pan Am 103, which is 1988. We're not even talking about 9/11. As I'm checking in for the flight yesterday, the security guard asked me the three questions. These three stupidest questions known to man, because even if English is not your fifth language, you can figure out how to get around this. The answers are always yes, yes, and no. Did you pack the bags yourself? Yes. Have they been with you all the time? Yes. Has anybody given you anything? No. I could be walking there through with 8 million pounds of Semtex, and I just have to say yes, yes, and no, and they go, bye-bye. And joining me now is somebody who probably agrees with the stupidity of that and wants to change it. In fact, his organization, the U.S. Travel Association, a panel of experts, recently figured out a great roadmap to a whole new air travel security and screening program that will actually not only save time, save money. Here's a news bulletin. It might actually be effective. It might actually even get more people to visit the United States who don't want to come simply because they don't want to go through all this stuff. His name, of course, the president and CEO of the U.S. Travel Association, our good pal, Roger Dow. Hey, Roger.
Peter, how are you?
I'm okay. Now that I've just done your entire segment.
You did very well. I love it. You're much more vitriolic than I can be. But
you know what? I'm not exactly shy when it comes to stupidity. I mean, security without intelligence is stupidity, and yet we're paying lots of money for all this. And your survey, which I found interesting, basically says that so many people are avoiding trips because they don't want to go through it. We're not just talking about foreigners. We're talking about people in this country. You came up with a figure that's costing the industry like $85 billion.
Yeah, we found out that we asked people if the system was predictable, streamlined, and safe, with safety is number one, of course, would you take more trips? And they said, yeah, 2 to 3 more trips. That's $85 billion. And more important, it's 900,000 jobs. When people travel, other people go to work.
Exactly. And yet, you know, we don't see a whole lot of stuff changing. The only thing that's coming back is the CLEAR program. It failed in the last incarnation simply because it was badly managed, and the TSA really never got behind it. Now there's a whole group of investors that are starting it again, and if they ever got their act together, I'd get one of those cards.
I think the people that are doing the CLEAR program are outstanding. They're really taking a great approach to the management of this time. They're not spending frivolous dollars on a lot of perks and extras, which happened in the last management group. And they really got a good program. It's in Orlando. It's in Denver now and rolling out. And I think it's going to make some big changes. And plus, that CLEAR card can then be used elsewhere in the future for your hotel check, for verifying who you are.
That's great. I mean, that's one. There's another one that U.S. Customs and Immigration has called Global Entry. And in concept, I got to love it. Basically means you can go right through the line, not have to stand there and you know, go through your passport stamp. But when I opened up the pamphlet to see how I did it, they require me to go to the airport and have an interview. Who has time for that?
That's the challenge with it. I just myself applied to get one, and it's outstanding when you get it. I get great reports, but you've got several steps to go through. They're trying to make it easier. They're going to companies and enrolling people en masse, but boy, if they could streamline the process, it's a wonderful program.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you think about it, the one thing they really should all be doing is pre-clearance. I talked about this on the show in the past. I'll talk about it again. You really want to save time and make travel easier and still maintain all the security parameters you need to maintain. Go to pre-clearance. We already have it in Canada. We have it in the Bahamas. We have it in Bermuda. We have it in Shannon, Ireland. We have it I think that's where we've got it. And the thing is, when you check in for your flight internationally, you also clear U.S. Customs there. So when you land, you're home.
It's a terrific program in those airports that you just stated, in those countries where you have it. The big problem is we've got to get to a trusted traveler program. We've got to get a situation where you, me, I'm not so sure about you, but the rest of your listeners are trusted travelers. We're not going to blow up a plane. So we shouldn't be treated like every next traveler is a terrorist. If you want to find a needle in the haystack, you shrink the haystack.
Yeah. And you know what? You start asking questions that can't be answered by yes, yes, or no. I mean, if I think, Roger, with all due respect, that you murdered somebody, I'm not going to say to you, Roger, did you kill them? Because you're going to say no, and that's the end of our conversation. I'm going to say to you something like, hey, Roger, what'd you do with a gun? Now, if you answer that question, we got something to talk about. And we always have something to talk about with Roger Dow, the CEO of the U.S. Travel Association. Thanks, Roger. We really appreciate it. And when we come back, more from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama. Right back after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, your phone number, your question, or your problem. We'll solve it. Right here on the air. Earlier on the show, we were talking to David Krebs of the Reef Fish Shareholders Alliance. And not many people realize that between May and October, on the beaches here in Alabama, there's an entire display going on. It's really quite phenomenal. Of course, it's turtle season. And it comes at a time, oil spill or not, when the sea turtle population is really in decline around the world. Many species are listed as either endangered or threatened by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And it's a tough situation out there, and joining me now, I love calling him this, he's the Turtle Czar, and he's the director of Share the Beach, Mike Reynolds. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Peter.
Listen, question for you. I mean, we know the turtles are in decline. We know they need to be protected. We know the seasons of the turtles. We know people are coming down here at the very time that the turtles are here. I mean, it coincides with your high season, so you've got a little bit of a challenge there.
Well, it is. It, in the name, Share the Beach, is sort of says what we do. We need to teach people, you know, our vacationers and then our residents that we need to share the beach. We need to learn this. The turtles can't learn this. The turtle has been nesting our beaches here, the white sandy beaches of Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, for thousands of years. And they just can't relearn their nesting strategy, you know, in a few generations. It takes them thousands of years to relearn things. And so we need to learn as tourists and as vacationers, and we come down here and enjoy these beautiful white sandy beaches, that we are on a...
By the way, if you say white sandy beach one more time, I have to beat you up.
Ooh, that's right. I'm sorry.
I have to beach you up.
Beach me up. You know, but down here on this sand is this beautiful place. It's also a very, very important habitat for the nesting sea turtles.
Sure.
You know, and it's a critical
habitat. It's where they come to lay their eggs.
Exactly right. And they're driven to. They have to. You know, a turtle born on this beach, this becomes their natal beach.
And they know to come back to it.
And they know to come back to it. So all the females that are hatched here come back to this beach, and they don't have a choice. They can't go, well, let's go to Bahamas this time. Let's go down to Texas this time. They come here. They have to, whether it's oiled or it's populated with people or covered with beach chairs or canopies, whatever. They're going to come here.
So basically, this is a turtle timeshare.
Kind of like that, you know, except, you know, they're not paying, you know, or they pay a lot of dues, and we just showed up here in the last, you know, century.
I will tell you, in all seriousness, I was down in Costa Rica. We did a story once where we got out there about 2 o'clock in the morning with infrared cameras, and it was the most amazing display of the leatherback sea turtles coming on shore to lay their eggs. I mean, they're almost prehistoric.
Oh, yeah, they're these huge. It looks like Volkswagens coming out of the water, yeah. You know, and they come up and they lumber up the beach and they weigh, you know, 1,000 pounds, and they manage to dig this hole.
They burrow in, yes.
Yeah, they huddle down, they get low in the sand, they make a body pit, and they dig the nest with their back flippers, and they dump the eggs in, they cover them up with sand, and they leave. You know, and they hear this creature that spends its whole life in the water, is born underneath in the sand, down in the dirt. You know, and they know to hatch.
But once you put that stuff in, once those eggs are there, you better protect that area, otherwise they'll be destroyed.
Well, yeah, you know, with a population like this on the beach, there's so many people, and so much activity, and lights. Lights are a huge, you know, problem for sea turtles.
But these sea turtles come out at night. They do. That's right.
They hatch at nighttime, and baby sea turtles are attracted to light like a magnet. You just can't dissuade them from going towards the light. So all our volunteers are 300 volunteers.
I have friends of mine like that. They're really, it's pathetic.
They're like moss and the bars and stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen too. And, you know, but out on the beach, the lights from the condos and the houses and the streets and the parking lots, you know, it draws the turtles away from
the
water.
So have you had a good effect with the owners of these places to say, please turn your lights out?
We're getting there. There's some new ordinances in place in Gulf Shores that you know, tell people you got to turn your lights off at nighttime during nesting season. Florida does a great job. Florida has done an amazing job getting the lights off down in their area.
And you got more work to do.
We got a lot of work to do. By the way, we have a
great website, alabamaseaturtles.com. You're
correct.
A nonprofit?
Correct. We're a nonprofit organization.
I just have one question before we run out of time. As the turtle czar, do the other turtles salute you?
No, it's just more of a courtesy thing.
Well, you get a professional courtesy thing.
A professional courtesy, you know, we're all good.
So basically, late at night, I have to turn my lights out near you, too.
Yes, you should, and let me sleep.
Again, the website, alabamaseaturtles.com. If you come down here, you have a great conservation program. People can get involved.
Volunteers welcome.
I mean, you can get out there on the beach and actually watch this.
You can actually come out there and watch the turtles go down, to the little baby sea turtles leave in the evening and go out to the water and spend the next couple, 100 years out in the water.
Unbelievable. And if you haven't done it, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I have done it. It's well worth it. I mean, you sit there at night with an infrared camera because you don't want to use any flash or any kind.
That's right.
And you watch this thing that's been going on, as you say, Mike, for hundreds of thousands of years, and it's staggering, just the impression that it leaves. And by the way, you're then determined never let anybody mess with that.
That's right. We get very, you know, animated about people that, you know, walk on the nest or, you know, kind of leave the lights on and, you know, disturb the nest in any way.
But obviously, if you go to your website, it'll tell you the times, generally, the locations. You have volunteers who will take us out there?
That's correct.
That's the way to do it. All right. Mike Reynolds, the turtle czar.
Hey,
love that.
Thanks,
now, if I see turtles marching in step, I'm going to be worried about you.
You should.
I'm already. Worried about you. And of course, you're the director of Share the Beach. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Peter.
That music means we are out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. But for those stations smart enough to stick around, and I know you are the smart ones, we got a whole lot more coming from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama. More with Peter Greenberg Worldwide when we come back right after these messages.
Been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. Of course, you know we live on airplanes 24/7. Last week, we were coming to you from Salzburg, Austria. Since then, crisscrossing the world at least three times and a few other time zones in between. So get out your maps, boys and girls. We are 30 degrees, 16 minutes north, 87 degrees, 42 minutes west. And if you haven't figured it out by now, we are in Orange Beach, Alabama at the Perdido Beach Resort. Taking your calls, 888-887-3837, 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. One of the reasons why we're here: hard to believe it's been a year, but in about 3 days it will be the one-year anniversary of the BP oil spill in the Gulf. And what has happened since then has been quite remarkable in terms of recovery, in terms of dollars lost and dollars spent. Everybody seems to be turning the corner. A year ago, I came down here to do the radio show. We did it from a restaurant called The Hangout. And when I woke up that morning, I came in the night before because I couldn't see very much, and I came in the night before, and the next morning, I looked out my window, and there were these big orange booms trying to catch the oil. And since then, believe it or not, if you take a look at the numbers, you had a 41% drop in revenue just in Gulf Shores, Alabama, in terms of lodging. Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, $100 million hit on that. And when you look at the way the states run their budgets, so much of their budget is generated from tax revenues from hotels and resorts, and they didn't know where to get the money. Well, you know where they got the money. It's called BP. Alabama got a $38 billion grant. Louisiana got a $48 million grant to try to get everything back on track. And slowly but surely they are. The beaches are open. The fish is plentiful and is safe to eat. It's probably the most tested fish stock in the world. 300,000 samples taken. And only a very small amount of even traces of oil or dispersant. That's really, really good news. The response teams are still on the beach every morning. In the last 2 weeks, they've recovered about 9,600 pounds of tar balls, which, if you put it in perspective, is a small fraction of what it was like a year ago. And the beaches are being kept clean. So now, perception always trumps reality. So last year, nobody came down even when the beaches were open. It was a disastrous season. This year, the beaches are open, and the smart travelers are figuring it out. And they're being incentivized, of course, by a lot of deals, whether it's in Louisiana, Florida, Mississippi, or right here in Alabama. When you can rent a two-bedroom villa for $169 a night, and they throw in a free round of golf and fishing, you don't have to be a math genius to figure out if you're coming down with your family or another couple. It's about $40 a night a person. I mean, how do you beat that? You don't. And you're right on the water. So, you need to check that out. Lots of stuff in the news, and a little bit later in the show, we'll be talking to our friend Jeff Skiles. You may remember Jeff. He was the first officer on the Miracle on the Hudson plane. To talk about, controllers sleeping in towers, pilot training, and one of my pet peeves, child restraint seats on airplanes for kids under the age of two. But before we get to that, let me tell you a story that happened to me last night. And I get angry about this because when you think about it, when passengers are treated on a need-to-know basis, and then they don't tell you, the people who need to know, they don't tell you. And then when they do tell you, they're giving you information that's either not true, out of date, misleading, or just a lie. I understand there will be delays for weather or mechanicals or because somebody got out on the wrong side of the bed. That's okay. Just be transparent. Full disclosure saves the day. When you try to do a cover-up, you get people like me angry, especially when we know. I flew yesterday from Madrid to Dallas, and then was connecting from Dallas to Pensacola, Florida, then to be able to drive where we are now, about an hour drive from Pensacola. Well, when I got to the airport in Dallas, my flight, which was supposed to leave at 8:15 at night, was showing on time. Now, we all know that departure boards haven't told the truth since 1947. If the airlines were in the shipping business, they would show the Titanic is on time. So we know that. So I went to the gate agent and I said, okay, where's the aircraft assigned to this flight that you are now showing is on time? Oh, it's in Houston. Okay, well, we're still 2.5 hours before I'm supposed to leave, so when is it leaving Houston? We don't know. Well, if you don't know when it's leaving Houston, how can you show it as being on time? Well, because it's on time, sir. Yeah, it's on time in your dreams. Well, okay, here's what goes on. The airlines think that the saving grace for them is to be able to send you electronic updates on your BlackBerry or on your cell phone so that you're, like, clued into real-time news information. So, of course, I get an instant electronic update saying that my flight from Dallas to Pensacola is on time, and I know it hasn't even left Houston. I already know this. But because it's on my BlackBerry, I think, oh, it must be true because it came in instantaneously. It's an instantaneous lie. But it gets worse. I counted 17 separate updates electronically to me, and each one of them was wrong. Not only were they wrong, my plane didn't leave at 8:15, it didn't leave at 8:20, it didn't leave at 8:30. At one point, they told me my plane was leaving at 9:13. The flight hadn't even left Houston yet, and if it landed, it would have landed in Dallas at 9:19. It can't leave Dallas at 9:13 if it hasn't even landed there till then. We finally left at about 20 minutes after 10, so over 2 hours late. The point is, we're all adults, we know how to play well with others, until somebody's not directly dealing with us in a transparent and honest way. They would do better at the airport to hire 2 17-year-olds with a chalkboard. I mean, at least you're getting real-time information. When they treat you on a need-to-know basis and the people who need to know, they don't tell them, it puts everybody at a disadvantage because the counter agents get beaten up by guys like me because they're giving you the information that they were given, which is wrong, too. The real key in all of this is not whether the plane's on time. Okay, I'm going to give you that one. It's not whether the plane has left Houston. I'll give you that one. The real problem here is the legality of the crew. And I ask this question. The crew flying the plane from Houston to Dallas, is it the same crew flying the plane from Dallas to Pensacola? Yes. How long have they been flying today? Are they going to go illegal when they land in Dallas and then my plane is canceled tonight? I'd be so by the time another hour went by, I was holding options to Orlando, Fort Walton Beach. I was holding seats on 4 other different planes because I didn't trust the information. And if you don't trust the information, why would you fly that airline? Just tell us the truth. Because when you tell us the truth, guess what you give us? I know it's a bad word for the airlines to get rid of this, but they need to give it to us. They give you options. And the true definition of a great trip is when you get to keep your options. When you take all my options away, I become a barricaded suspect. And I'm not very pleasant to be around. And neither is anybody listening to this show. So word to the airlines, if you're going to screw up, clue us in. Make us part of it so we can work it out with you. Don't keep telling us the plane's on time when one simple phone call will tell you the plane hasn't even left its other destination. Okay, I'm done now. You think so? I don't know, because we got Jeffrey Skiles coming up, and we're going to talk about that and a whole lot of other things from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide, if we decide to be on time, right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg here with you from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. And speaking about our website, I insist How about that? That you go to our website with the most imaginative name possible, petergreenberg.com, for one very important reason. We have a comprehensive list there of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that great work in Japan, in Western China, in Chile, in New Zealand, and of course, let us not forget Haiti. They need all the help they can get. But what's amazing is you can help them because it's what you bring to the party. It's not just texting $10 on your phone. Of course, that's always appreciated. It's what you can do up close and personal in a volunteer vacation mode. And within the next 3 to 4 weeks, that infrastructure will be in place in Japan where you can actually go and help. It's not there yet. We'll let you know when it is. But if you look at our list, you'll see how many different aid and relief organizations are out there that you don't even think about where you can have a direct and positive impact on the work that they do in a very direct way. So please check that out. Let's go to the phones. We got Joe in Chicago on the line. Hey, Joe.
Hello. How are you doing?
Very good, sir. How can I help you today?
I have a few quick questions for you. I have an opportunity to go to an F1 race, Formula One race, in Turkey in early May. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions for places to stay outside of Istanbul. The race is in Istanbul, and I prefer to stay outside of the city.
Sure. Well, if you've got some time, I'm a big fan of Antalya. I'm a big fan of a place called Dalaman, which nobody knows. They know Bodrum, but they don't know Dalaman. It's about an hour flight out of Istanbul, but it's where a huge fleet of Turkish charter yachts are, and they're so much less expensive than the ones in Greece. So if you can bookend your trip, you owe it to yourself to go down to Dalaman and rent one of those boats. You will not be disappointed. But check out Antalya. I really like it.
I'll check it out. Thanks.
Second quick question.
I've also got a business opportunity to travel to the Middle East, in particular Iraq and in that region. And, quick opinion on, the safety and things like that.
Well, your question's a little too general. If you're going to northern Iraq like Erbil, I'd say go in a minute because there's nothing going on there. It's peaceful. It's calm. Every airline's got daily service there, and it's really quite lovely. If you're going to Baghdad, you'll be governed by the green zone and where you can and can't go by the military. You know that.
Yes, exactly. And most of the business would be taking place down in Baghdad area, and I'm kind of leery about going over there yet.
Well, Baghdad, for the most part, and I emphasize the word most, not all, has started to stabilize a little bit. You haven't seen too many crazy things happening there in the last 3 months, although it could happen again. But stores are open, restaurants are open, people are going about their business. It's not back to where it used to be under Saddam Hussein's regime. At least, they were more afraid of him than they were of each other. That's about the only nice thing you can say about him. But the bottom line is, as long as you're in a protected zone over there, you should be okay.
Okay, great. And one last question. Tibet. I've always wanted to go. I'm considering going. How do you suggest, rail or fly?
Well, if you can fly, fly, because at certain times of the year, you will freeze your you-know-what by taking the train there. And if you go there, you better like yak. There'll be yak butter, yak burgers, yak everything. So I'm just warning you.
Well, I've heard that taking the rail would be better because it helps acclimate. You acclimate as you're going up.
Well, you know what? If you're 95 years old and you've never been on a mountain, I would say do that. But you know what? It's amazing how quickly you acclimate as long as you drink plenty of water. It's like going to Colorado. I'm serious.
Okay, cool. Well, great.
All right.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You got it, Joe. And speaking of going up, up, and away, what a perfect segue to our next guest. He's been flying since he's 16. One of the legendary heroes of U.S. Air Flight 1549, of course, the Miracle on the Hudson plane. He's been on our show before, and I've interviewed him before on air safety issues left and right. Jeff Skiles. Hello, Captain.
Good morning, Peter.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. I mean, flying planes into any unoperated control towers lately?
No. Not airports that had control towers.
I know. Well, uncontrolled airports are an uncontrolled airport. But, the news this week that the FAA's air traffic control chief resigns, I got to tell you, and maybe you can disagree with me on this, but I think they just threw this guy under the bus. I think it's a system problem, not his problem.
Well, absolutely. Asking for and receiving the resignation of the head guy does not address or solve the problem. The problem has been known for decades. The NTSB has been talking, listing fatigue as a causal factor in fatal accidents for 20 years. The FAA has done nothing about it. The only reason this man lost his job is because it came up public attention.
Under his watch. Yeah, I go back to the Comair crash in Lexington, Kentucky, something that you know very well. And there was a situation where there was only one guy in the tower. He was preoccupied with something else. The pilots, there was another issue of crew rest with them, and they didn't take off on the wrong runway. They ended up taking off on a taxiway. And we all know what happened.
Well, yeah, and that controller had only slept for 2 hours in the last 24 due to the scheduling requirements that they have. We face the same problems as pilots that controllers do. We simply have to acknowledge the fact that people are human beings and they have normal human frailties, and we have to work around that to create a safe environment. And that's something that the FAA is so far refusing to do, both with pilots and with their own air traffic controllers.
I mean, the thing that strikes me as somewhat curious, Jeff, is that you had the situation with Comair in Kentucky, and after that happened, the FAA said, this is terrible. We are never going to let somebody work in the tower by themselves again. We're going to have at least a minimum of two guys up there at all times of the day and night. Anytime that tower is manned, you're going to have at least two guys in there, and that's a new policy. And what happened at Reagan?
Well, you know, and Reagan is a busy airport. I mean, there are many, many control fields throughout this country where they may even only have one person working even during the day. So that this is not at all an uncommon shift for air traffic controllers.
Right, but I'm going to ask you this as a pilot, because this struck me as somewhat curious. I'm going to put me in the cockpit for a second. I know that's a dangerous thought, Jeff, but let's put me in the cockpit for a second. I'm flying the plane, and I'm calling approach control, and I'm calling the tower to basically say I'm coming in, and I don't get a confirmation. And I call again, I don't get a confirmation. And I'm basically 3 miles out. Wouldn't it be prudent for me to divert and go to another airport?
Well, frankly, when that Reagan incident happened, that was the first thing that I said, is just so that I wouldn't get in trouble as a pilot, I would certainly divert and go to another airport, because then you obviously can't be accused of landing without a air traffic control clearance, whether the air traffic controller was asleep or not. I mean, perhaps it could have been just a radio failure that they were suffering from in the tower. So, yeah, I personally would have diverted, but, you know, obviously a number of pilots didn't.
I know two of them at least, and that to me is, but it still doesn't get back to the idea that you're about 70% under in staffing levels at the FAA when it comes to the towers or the air traffic control centers. And back when you and I did our interview for CBS on air safety, and that goes back over a year now, it was the same issue then.
Well, that's been the issue with the FAA for decades. It's they're supposed to be regulating safety. But oftentimes they work in the interests of the airlines themselves, or obviously in this case, they're not just regulators, they're also bosses and they're managers, and they
right.
don't do the both jobs adequately.
Well, that segues to my next topic here, which is one that I'm totally passionate about. We've all seen the research, we've seen the videos about the effects of trying to hold a child under the age of two in your lap during takeoff and landing, or even during the flight itself. There's incontrovertible evidence that in the event of a hard landing or an aborted takeoff, you physically can not control the grasp or maintain the grasp on your child, and the child becomes a missile. We all know what happens then. We saw it with United Airlines 232 in Sioux City, Iowa, and many other cases where the NTSB investigated and came out and said, we need to fix this with child restraint seats or harnesses. The FAA said, well, we want to study it. Well, then the FAA studied it, Jeff, and came up with the exact same results. So faced with incontrovertible evidence, they came up with the most pathetic excuse of a statement I've ever heard. And here's what they said. I'm not making this up. We are not going to force the airlines to provide these kinds of seats or restraints, because if they did, people who would otherwise fly would then drive and be killed in automobile accidents. And I ask you, Jeff, by the way, this qualifies as a rhetorical question. When I want the FAA to talk about highway safety, I'll ask them. You know what I mean? It's like, hello?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously. I mean, for decades, people have been required to have child restraint seats in their automobiles because you need them for safety. A child simply has to have a restraint seat. And for the FAA to use that excuse is certainly, working around the problem. You know, they clearly need to require child restraints. And, you know, obviously that's going to mean that somebody is going to have to buy a ticket for their child when they fly. But people have to buy a ticket now when the child is over 2 years old. So all we're saying is that from birth until two, they're also going to have to buy a ticket and get a seat, and either they or the airline is going to have to provide a child restraint seat. But obviously this is clearly something that's been needed for decades. But, you know, is the FAA going to act on this? I doubt it.
Wow. Well, thanks for the uplifting report, Jeff. Captain Jeff Skiles, a good friend of the show. We love talking to you and hope we come back and join us again soon. That's Captain Jeffrey Skiles. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama, right after this. Fasten your seatbelts.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on this beautiful April weekend, coming to you from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, well, you know what to do. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. A year ago, I was sitting across the table from my next guest, and times were tough. Orange booms were out there all over the ocean. Beaches were at least reported to be closed. Nobody was showing up. The losses were mounting on an exponential level. People didn't really know what to do except weather the storm of the oil spill in the Gulf. Well, in about 3 days, it'll be the anniversary of that spill. And things have started to turn around. Massive influx of money and support, massive influx of true dedication in terms of not just cleaning the place up, but in letting people know that they're open for business. Still, it's a rebuilding effort that may take a while. It's not going to turn around overnight. And joining me now, the director of Alabama Tourism Development, Lee Santel. Hey, Lee.
Welcome back to Alabama.
I'm happy to be here. I mean, it's been a year since you and I saw each other.
Right.
It seems in a way like yesterday, and it also seems like it was like 8 years ago. I mean, that's the way things are these days. But looking out at the beach now, I see a different beach.
Absolutely. Over your shoulder, about 200 yards from here, is just the beautiful beach and gorgeous white caps on the water. We need to be outside.
And yet, you were staying up late at night a year ago. You didn't have a whole lot of sleepy nights because every day was crisis management.
It's amazing what the people down here have done as far as hold on for a year. And
that's really what it was. They had to hold on.
Yeah. Because the people who own the hotels and the restaurants and the attractions down here, these are local people. These are not parts of national chains. There are no Hard Rock cafes.
Yeah.
These are people who have been in business for several generations.
I mean, we're talking about nearly 5 million barrels of oil discharged. At one point, you had nearly 48,000 people here in the cleanup mode. 48,000 people in the Gulf. It's amazing. Using over 9,007 boats, and, 6,500 government and commercial vessels. I talk about the Orange Boom, 3.8 million feet of it. I mean, these are staggering numbers.
Well, it's like they tried to boom off the entire Gulf of Mexico, the upper coast, but today they're all gone, and the tourists are back, and the beaches are beautiful.
And yet, it's still a buyer's market. I mean, the thing is...
Oh, it is, yes. It wasn't just that fewer people came last year, but law of supply and demand will set a price, and people ask for deals, and they got them.
And there are deals not just in Alabama, but in Louisiana, Mississippi, and parts of Florida. I mean, some really amazing deals. I mean, you know, you can rent a villa here, a villa or a condo. It's starting at like $99 a night. And the thing that's cool about that, I talked about it on the CBS News, is they'll throw in a round of golf, and they'll give you fishing. I mean, well, they come out and clean the dishes, too, while we're at it.
And your car.
Yeah.
That shows how excited we are to have people back.
And are people coming back? I mean, obviously, they're driven.
Yes.
People are driven, first of all, by two things. And they almost work across purposes, right? They're driven by price, and they're also driven away by fear. So how do you manage that?
I was going to say they're driven by time and money. But I think people know that there's been a serious effort, for 50 weeks from now since it happened, and things have been cleaned up, and the beaches have been cleaned up literally with a fine-tooth comb. I mean, the beaches have never been so clean because they dug down with front-end loaders and down several feet in the sand and shifted it all over.
And how many bodies did they find?
None that you would identify, but...
Aha! A different kind of beach activity. Mommy, look! No, I'm just kidding. No, but they really went back down there and they dug deep.
Oh, they did. And that went on until just a couple of months ago. So I know both of the mayors down here in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores wanted a deadline of January the 1st and didn't quite get that. But the important thing is spring break has been going on now for more than a month, and people have come back. I think somewhere probably around up about 10% for spring break over previous year. And
but you still have a ways to go.
Oh, in terms of numbers, absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, if it's still just in terms of numbers, the bottom line for Smart Travelers is it's still a buyer's market.
It definitely is. This you can negotiate. You can, well, I came in last night. I stopped at a couple of places. I mean, I didn't tell them who I was or who I worked for, but, you know, I took the deal at the second place.
Okay, and what did you get the room for?
$85.
Not bad.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And they threw in the round of golf and you're fishing.
I didn't have time for the golf.
No. But, you know, what you're suggesting, Lee, is good advice for anybody traveling. It's not just the quoted rate. It's the value-added stuff that you ask for. You know, can my kids stay free? Can they eat free? If you're going to a ski resort, can I get free lift tickets? Will you throw in free parking? I mean, now is the time to do it because, first of all, everybody needs you down here. And second of all, it's goodwill to get you to come back.
Right. And most of the people who come here have been here before. This resort destination has one of the highest percent returns or loyalty factors of any place in the country. Like 85% of the people who come here have been here on a regular basis.
Except for last year.
Right. But
so they're starting to come back.
So those are the people that we're really targeting first is to get them to come back.
All right. Lee Centel, the owner of the $85 a night room right here in Alabama. Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Glad to be here.
And when we come back, and by the way, we'll have more of that information on our website because we reported on it today on the CBS Early Show. Back with more from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama, right after these messages.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on this mid-weekend in April. Gorgeous day here in Alabama at Orange Beach, by the way. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, by now, if you don't know the drill, okay, I'll still tell you. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air as we're about to do for Joseph in Sun Lakes, Arizona. Hey, Joseph.
Hello, Peter.
How can I help you today?
My wife and I are going on a 15-day trip to Germany. Our flight is taken care of by the mileage program. We're staying with friends, so there's no hotel, and we won't be renting a car. But I want to have that carefree vacation, a peace of mind, as you put it. Do I still buy traveler's insurance?
Okay, here's the deal. First of all, I want to travel with you. You're doing everything for free. Nobody does that anymore. Good for you. Bottom line, Joseph, is this. Most people don't realize that their own medical insurance doesn't really cover them adequately once they leave the continental United States. And sometimes they'll even cover you in Puerto Rico and Hawaii and Alaska. But once you really go ashore somewhere else, it doesn't. And so you want that carefree vacation, here's what I want you to do. You want to get something called Medical Evacuation and Repatriation Insurance. It's offered by a number of companies. Travel Guard does it, MedJet Assist does it. They both do an excellent job. And what it does is say this, that in the event that you get sick or injured overseas, they will, in consultation with your own doctor, who knows your medical history better than he does or she does, they will send a medically equipped jet for you and basically evacuate you and repatriate you to the doctor and medical facility of your choice. Now, there are a lot of policies out there offered by maybe 30 or 40 other different companies that offer medical evacuation or repatriation, but I have to caution you, if you read the fine print, they will evacuate you to the medical facility of their choice, and it becomes a bidding game that where the lowest bidder wins, and I'm sorry, I don't want to end up in a bad HMO in Rwanda. So my suggestion is check out either MedJet Assist or Travel Guard. It's an annualized policy in most cases. It certainly is for MedJet Assist. You may be able to buy a per-trip policy with Travel Guard, but as an annualized policy, it's about $350, $360. It's the best investment you'll ever make for a card you hope you never have to use. And to put things in adequate perspective here, if you didn't have one of those programs and you got injured or sick overseas and had to be flown home, chances are you'd have to buy four seats because they put you on a stretcher. And you'd have to buy a seat for your medical care professional. That's a fifth seat. And that's not in coach. That's in first class. Your airfare alone would be $70,000. So trust me on this one, Joseph. If you want a carefree vacation, buy the card you hope you never have to use. Just have one. I'm knocking on wood as I talk to you right now. I've had this card for at least 12 years. I've never had to use it, but I'm sure glad I do.
I was just wondering, last part, I spoke to medical coverage, and they said they would cover incidents over there, but I would have to pay over there and then file a claim when I got back.
Joseph, did you just get finished saying to me you wanted a carefree vacation?
Okay, I'm going to go.
How many forms do you want to fill out in triplicate in German? No, you're going to go get one of these cards, okay?
I'll definitely do that.
You got it, Joseph. Have a great trip. And next time you'll have to tell me how you actually redeem your mileage, because I don't know anybody's ever got a chance to do that. Good luck. I appreciate that. Let's go to Laura in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Laura.
Hello. My main question is my husband was involved recently in a hotel fire, and I'm just kind of curious as to what I can expect as far as replacement damage for the items that he lost and how long it might take to get the
rest of
that.
Okay, let me give you the bad news first. Every innkeeper law in America protects hoteliers in the event of theft, damage to items in your room that you didn't put in the hotel safe in the safe deposit box behind the front desk. It doesn't even cover you, believe it or not, if you put it in the safe that they charge you for in your room. It only covers you if you put it in the safe deposit box behind the front desk. It's an antiquated law that does not protect consumers. So the answer to your question is, if you're not covered by your own homeowner's insurance, which you might, by the way, I wouldn't expect a very big amount from the hotel. In fact, their liability is extremely limited here.
Okay, great. That's a great answer to my question. Thanks.
You got it. But it's not a great answer because it doesn't help you. It lets you know what the
rules
are. I know,
but, they've been really kind, actually, and they've bought things already for him. So,
well, then you know what? What you're saying then, Laura, is if a hotel goes over and above what they're required to do, that's what hotels should do, and that's the hotel you want to go back to.
Yeah, he has a... advantage program with this particular hotel chain. So
great. Well, you know what? Then more power to everybody. They're doing the right thing. I really appreciate it, Laura. And thanks for the call. All right. When we come back, we're going eating. You want a panini? We got a panini. We'll be back with Peter and the Paninis. No, I'm kidding. Right after these messages from Orange Beach, Alabama. And yeah, the guy's name is Pete, too. I'm confusing you. Goodbye. We'll be back.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming to you from the Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, Alabama. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phone, you can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. You know, earlier in the show, we were talking to Lee Santel from Alabama Tourism, who said, you know, what really makes this place different in terms of the economic impact of things is that there's so many family-owned and operated businesses here that are not part of national chains who get hit the hardest because they don't have any deep pockets when something like this happens. And joining me now is somebody who can probably speak to that very well. His place has been open for 5 years. He's sort of a legend down here. So does the word sort of a legend ring a bell?
Sort of is appropriate.
You let me know. Okay. It's Pete Blome. Of course, people know him as the owner of Panini Pete's original, as opposed to let there not be any copies, Panini Sandwich Cafe and Bakery and Bowling Alley, right? You got everything going there.
That's right. We're working on the bowling alley.
I'm sure
right
you
now.
Are, yeah.
As we speak.
I mean, we're talking recovery here. I mean, we're talking, you know, you guys got kicked big time last year.
It was a tremendous economic and ecological impact. I mean, there's so many people, there's so much money that comes into this area through tourism that filters through the whole region.
And people don't realize that, you know, if they're not staying at the hotels, they're not eating at restaurants, they're not washing their clothes. They're not going out to dinner. They're not shopping for, right?
All the people that service them, all the servers and the bussers and the cooks and the chefs and all that staff is just depleted. So their money, they're not going to the convenience stores, the gas stations, the movie theaters. Everybody's affected.
Everybody gets hit. So tell me what happened in your restaurant.
We saw a very large decrease. You know, being the summer is a huge season down here. I'm located up on the eastern shore of the bay in a quaint little town called Fairhope, and we get an enormous amount of tourism from this area. When they come down for a week, they're going to spend a day or two in Fairhope. And again, it's...
And that means they come in and have one of your famous paninis.
Paninis, yeah, or beignets, or, yeah, you know, okay, anything like that. Just soak in the town. But and also the service people. You know, there's a lot of people that work down here that live in Fairhope.
Well, you know, we saw what happened after Katrina in New Orleans. I mean, all the service staff just literally left the state.
Absolutely.
Not that many returned. They're starting to come back, but still, right? So what happened? Did you lose a lot of people?
Very tough. I was able to keep my staff. You know, I have a small restaurant, which helps. Some of the larger places were really devastated, but because I have a small staff, I was able to keep them all employed. Now, believe me, their pockets suffered as well as mine did. You know, had to invest a lot of money in keeping it going and hanging in there. And we didn't have the direct. We're kind of the trickle-down effect. So not near as bad as some people down here that just had no options at all.
And then, of course, they were your suppliers. You weren't ordering as much bread. You weren't ordering as much cheese. All of the ingredients that go into your stuff, right?
Absolutely. And myself, my crew, the shopping that we do locally, is everybody was reeling in. Everybody's tightening up, and it's still affecting us.
Did you qualify to file a claim with BP?
I didn't. I do. I'm in the process of working on that now. I had to look at my this year versus last year, and you know, typically I went from showing strong growth every year to suddenly just a screeching halt, and it was really difficult to weather. So we're definitely in that process as well.
And I mean, BP has shelled out a lot of money.
Correct.
And they're still doing it.
They are. Which, and you know, we're far from done with this whole disaster. So it's good that they are supporting, and hopefully it'll continue.
And when was the last time you went swimming?
I went swimming yesterday. I was actually down at the beach Sunday and was back again Monday. I chaperoned a field trip for my daughter down at Fort Morgan, and we came and had lunch at the beach and had to go poke my toes in there. It was awesome.
It was great.
Love the water, love the ocean. I grew up in South Florida eating Gulf seafood, cooking Gulf seafood, scuba diving, sailing, jet skiing, and we have to just take care of these oceans and these beaches.
Now, most people who go to New Orleans, you know, they go to the Café du Monde, and they're always going to have the beignet there and get covered with powdered sugar. You have your own special.
That's right.
Beignet. What is in that thing?
They are so good. I'm telling you, you know, the place that my restaurant's in called the French Quarter. And I said, naturally, I got to do some beignets in here. I'm here prepping in the morning. Let me come up with a little breakfast. So I started playing around with them, and it's not an easy task, and I needed something convenient, something to execute rapidly, because it was a one-man show when I opened, and I came up with this wet dough variation where it's got eggs and butter and it's rich and lovely, but the secret weapon, so they come out, they're not hollow, they're nice and custardy inside,
yeah.
Nail them with powdered sugar, but the key is I serve it with a fresh lemon wedge, and you squeeze a couple drops of that fresh lemon juice on there with that powdered sugar. It's amazing. It's so good.
And you're talking like this.
I get my toes are curling right now. It's so good.
You're out of control.
I got that little, you know, and that, my mother used to make us German pancakes when I was a kid, and it was kind of a batter, and it had powdered sugar and drawn butter and lemon, and it was an amazing combo. So I was about 4 months into the restaurant and making beignets, and the girls were setting up the tea station. I saw those lemons, and I went, wait a minute. The light went off, and I hit it, and I was like, that's it, and it's become a signature item, a trademark dish.
And do you ship all over the world? You do not. They have a limited lifespan, right? You got to eat them when you get them.
After this show, I probably will. You know, I need to get on board, help the economy, right?
Hey, you forgot wait. Not only do you have a lot of sugar in there, you even throw in some kosher salt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's all I cook with is kosher salt.
And, you know, when you think Alabama, you think kosher.
All the time, of course. Why not? With our barbecue and pork ribs. And wait a minute. No, you don't always think kosher.
Wow. So you're already approved for Passover, and you didn't even know it.
Didn't even know it.
Unbelievable. All right. Pete Blome, the owner of the original Pete's Panini. I'm going to get this right.
Panini Pete's.
Panini Pete's original Panini Sandwich Cafe and Beignet Factory. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. But for those stations smart enough to stick around, we got a whole other hour coming up right here from Orange Beach, Alabama. Peter Greenberg here from Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Go get those beignets. We'll be back with more right after this.
You've been listening.
listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this mid-April weekend, wherever you happen to be. I hope you're having a great time. Of course, we've been living on airplanes. Gee, what a surprise. But we've landed. And you know where we are? Well, get out your maps, because we are in Orange Beach, Alabama. And if you don't know where that is, look closely, because 32 miles of beach right here. Of course, celebrating is probably the wrong word, acknowledging the one-year anniversary of the terrible oil spill last year in the Gulf and what it means and what it's meant and what it can mean in terms of the recovery here. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Staggering numbers when you think about the millions and millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of losses in Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, and parts of Florida because of the spill. And not necessarily real damage. Damage caused by perception of people thinking that there is nothing but oil on the beach and not coming. I remember a year ago I was here doing the radio show from a place called The Hangout. Right on the beach, and you'd wake up in the morning and look out and just see oil, you know, orange oil booms everywhere. I mean, miles of them, but I never saw a dirty beach. And maybe that was because of it, but either way, everybody suffered. And now it's a year later. BP is still paying out millions. Alabama got a $38 million grant. Louisiana got a $48 million grant. And remember, in Louisiana, they're still rebuilding from Katrina. It's been tough down here. But smart travelers who are not just driven by price but are also driven by experience will realize this is the time to go. I told everybody 5 days after Mubarak left Egypt to go to Cairo. And nobody wanted to go. And I actually took out an industrial strength spatula and I forced some of my friends to go. And they literally called me on the air 5 days later and told me what a great time they were having. There's a lot to be said for being a contrarian traveler, and this place lends itself to that right now. So if you got a question or a problem, give me a call, 888-887-3837. And by the way, on the phone with us right now, the managing editor of petergreenberg.com, our good friend, Sarika Shala. Hey, Sarika.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
So what do we got on the website this week?
Okay. So you are in Gulf Shores, Alabama. So, of course, you were broadcasting on TV from Gulf Shores, Alabama. So we actually have your CBS segment from this morning, which really, I think, gives a good overview of what's happening down there, you know, how much of a hit these communities took and how they're recovering.
And they did take a hit, and they're continuing to take a hit, although they're starting to turn around.
They are. And, you know, what happened was a lot of those communities at this time last year, or right, you know, maybe March of last year, they were seeing really strong numbers. They were actually anticipating these solid 2010 years. You know, recovering from the economic crisis, and spring break was doing really well, and then this hit, and so that really slowed the growth for a lot of them. So even in Florida, I think they actually ended up, you know, improving their numbers last year, but the hit that they took was in terms of anticipated loss. And so now with these incentives and promotions and deals and events, they're really coming back.
In fact, they're having a big dinner here tomorrow night called Supper on the Sand. And it's going to be pretty. I'm actually going to stay for it because it'll be kind of fun.
I'm jealous. I'm very jealous.
Well, you are such a foodie. See, you. If truth be told, you are the biggest foodie going. You'll go to the opening of a donut factory, I think.
I would love to go to an opening of a donut factory.
See, I knew it.
I went to a tortilla factory recently. That was pretty cool.
See, I knew exactly what I was talking about here.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, actually, you know what I would do? I would go to Louisiana. I'd go to Baton Rouge. I want to tour Zapp's. I just want to go to the potato chip factory there. That's what I want to do.
Sure, done. Yeah, let's do that.
Baton Rouge, Baton Rouge.
Well, events like that are kind of what those communities are using their grants from BP to do, is to educate the public, let them know that the seafood is safe to eat, and, you know, here we are on the beach eating Gulf seafood fresh from the ocean.
And by the way, I talked about this on CBS. 300,000 samples have been taken and analyzed, and a very small number, I mean almost not even measurable, came out with traces of oil or dispersant, which is not a bad number.
Yeah, and they had closed a big chunk of the Gulf last year. I think it was last June they closed upwards of like 36% of it. Now they're down to 0.4% is closed, and they don't reopen those waters unless the seafood's been tested and it passes muster from the FDA, the Oceanic Institute, and also the states.
Very cool. So what else we got?
So we also have a very cool series on our website. With you. You did a series of web interviews with some high-profile people, and there's some great topics we've got covered here. My favorite is your interview series with Chris Falkenberg, from the a security expert who was actually a former Secret Service agent. And so the two of you have an awesome conversation about safety and security post 9/11, coming up on the 10-year anniversary. So there's some great stuff on the site.
And by the way, let me remind everybody that we have a situation out there now where the absence of a terrorism incident should never presume the presence of great intelligence or safety. And Americans should never be worried about traveling overseas as long as they practice some basic common sense. But at the same time, keep in mind, history tells us that large American branded hotels have been targeted. Whether it's JW Marriott, Ritz-Carlton, whether it's in Jakarta, whether it's in the Middle East, and there are things you need to do. I'm not telling you not to stay at those hotels. I'm saying there are things you need to do just to protect yourself, so that when you do stay at those hotels, you're much more aware as a traveler, and so is the hotel.
And actually, I think what you're going to be doing this week, you'll be writing about that for your blog on BNet, which is the CBS business travel blog, and that will kind of outline a lot of the needs to know about traveling abroad, whether you're a business or leisure traveler, and the things that you can do to sort of protect yourself and others, in terms of those security issues.
Well, you know that after the terrible attack on the U.S. barracks in Saudi Arabia, based on a military contract, a company went out there, and, you know, necessity being the mother of invention, they developed literally a blast-proof wallpaper.
Yeah.
And we've seen the video of this stuff. It's amazing. It literally expands like a balloon, and the explosion then comes right back to where it was. You're not going to be killed or seriously injured by shards or by flying debris. And they developed that as a military application, but obviously it works in hotels. It would work in every hotel lobby. It would work in every hotel room. And yet, to this day, not a single major U.S. branded chain has even inquired about it, because they don't want to spend the money. I think it's wrong. I think if you're going to have a hotel, a Sheraton, a Marriott, a Hyatt, a Holiday Inn, in a high-profile location, the least you should do is protect your guests with that, because you know what? It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it's all about the bottom line for the American hotels. In the research that we did, it was even stuff as basic as security cameras and, you know, security guards, things that you do see abroad, you don't see here in the U.S. And that's a lot of what you and Chris Falkenberg talk about in these videos, is the differences between situations here in the U.S. and abroad, and, you know, what we can do as travelers.
And, of course, that's on our website with the most imaginative name possible, petergreenberg.com. And that's Sarah Kashala, our managing editor and donut tortilla groupie. Thanks, Sarah. And when we come back, which airports have the most unfair fares? It might surprise you, but it's pretty wild stuff. Back with more from Orange Beach, Alabama, right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Perdido Beach at the Perdido Beach Resort on Orange Beach in Alabama. Peter Greenberg here taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And at this time, every week, I refer you to our website for another very important reason. It's petergreenberg.com, and that's not the reason. The reason is our comprehensive list of aid and relief organizations doing all that hard work in Japan, in Western China, in Chile, in New Zealand, and of course, let us not forget Haiti. What's cool about this list is it will surprise you all the different opportunities you have, not just to donate money, but to donate you and what you bring to the party. It's amazing the points of common ground that you don't even realize you have, where you can be truly, directly, and immediately helpful to everybody. And it's the best vacation you can give yourself because you get back so much more than you give. But really, believe me, you'll be given a lot, and it feels really good. And for those people out there listening to this program, like me, who have a lot of mileage, now's the time to donate some of your mileage. You can't redeem it anyway, so why not donate it so that people can use it in terms of relief and aid workers? 100,000 miles means that somebody gets four tickets to go down and help. And you know what? The airlines have been actually helping on that one. They have a much better time redeeming a ticket for that than your pina colada vacation somewhere. So listen to me. Donate some miles. I have, and you should. My next guest normally would not come to mind when booking this show. He's a political junkie. He understands electoral forecasting. He understands how to predict, pitching in baseball. I mean, you name it, he can figure out those kind of those metrics. Well, what has he done? Well, he also flies a lot, and he's now figured out all the secrets you need to know about which airports have the most unfair fares, when to buy tickets, when not to buy tickets, which airports are the surprise positive airports, which airports are the biggest losers. His name, Nate Silver. Hey, Nate.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
All right. I mean, your blog is really 538.com. It has nothing to do with travel.
No, so we mostly deal with realms like politics and sports, where there's a lot of data and numbers to analyze. But, there's an awful lot of data, too, that the government's available on airfares. And I guess a lot of ways where you see maybe inefficiencies or oddities in the system. So it seemed like a natural subject to take on now and then. And I do travel a fair bit, so it's something I'm kind of sensitive to myself.
So basically you did this for purely selfish reasons.
Well, I get curious about things, right?
Yeah.
And you get curious about things, and you start playing around with numbers, and you try and do it in a reasonably sophisticated way. In this case, for example, there are data on average fares out of a given airport, but they mix, business class and economy class tickets together. They mix one-way flights and round trips. So one thing we did was try and make sure we're looking at just one type of ticket, which in this case are our round trip economy class fares, which is the most
common
most of us have booked.
So you were able to break those out, and then, of course, you've got some real data to work with.
Yeah, I mean, there really is. I mean, literally, so, the government takes a 10% sample of all airfares and makes it available. And, the data's not perfect. You have to do a little bit of cleanup with it, but it's a remarkable amount of information you would have compared to most other industries.
All right, so let's talk about that. What were the surprises that you did? Because you not only just broke out the airfares, you broke out the airports.
Yeah, so that was the thing. At first, I will do it by markets, but there are markets where one airport is quite a bit more expensive than another. For example, here in New York, Newark is about 20 or 25% more expensive for the same destinations than JFK or LaGuardia. I think the reason probably being that you have one airport, Continental, now United, I suppose, or one airline, I should say, that has more of a monopoly at Newark, and also there are people in North Jersey that can commute to Newark pretty easily, but not to the other airports, and so they have a little bit more pricing power there.
Nate, question for you. On the airports that you looked at in New York, did you look at Islip?
Yeah, that actually did okay. I mean, you don't have quite as many destinations you can go to, and that's one thing about these cheap airports is, yeah, you're traveling to certain places, it's great, but, that's not such a bad deal for being in kind of a major market. The average fare there, I think, is only like $330 or something round trip. This was last year. Everything's a little bit cheaper since oil was less expensive last year. But, we found Islip as a below-market airport, whereas Newark was quite a bit above.
Exactly. And it's also a great airport. If Newark, LaGuardia, and Kennedy close, Islip tends to stay open. And what people don't realize is Southwest Airlines flies from there to Chicago. They fly from there to Las Vegas. That's essentially a transcon. I mean, if you need to go coast to coast with one stop, you're in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and L.A. and Vegas are tend to be pretty good cities to fly to, especially especially Las Vegas. I mean, you know, that's one of the themes we noticed is that, and it's kind of common sense, right, that leisure destinations where people are more price sensitive tend to be better deals, you know. So if you're scheduling a business conference or something and want to save people money, then, you know, a Vegas or an Orlando or a Miami tends to be a good place.
But for business travelers, too, I always say go to Oakland instead of San Francisco, go to Providence instead of Boston, go to, I mentioned Islip instead of the other three airports in New York. I used to say Midway instead of Chicago, but I've now changed my mind. You might find this interesting. I tell people to go to Milwaukee.
Well, Milwaukee is kind of a ridiculous example, right, where it's about $60 cheaper than Midway, and I think like $75 cheaper than O'Hare right now for the same ticket, because you have multiple discount carriers. Usually if you get just one good discount carrier, you know, you get a Southwest with a robust presence at an airport, that helps a lot, right? But there they have, you know, Frontier, they have two or three or four discount carriers competing against one another, so it's one of the cheapest airports in the country right now in Milwaukee, and it's about, you know, an hour and change on the Amtrak to Chicago, which isn't that much worse than O'Hare to downtown. But that's the real, I mean, you absolutely have to look at Milwaukee as a third option to commute into Chicago for sure.
And in fact, if you look in the parking lot at Mitchell Field there, you'll find that at least one third to one half of the cars have Illinois plates. They must know something.
Well, they've had some prodigious growth in traffic. You know, I think their traffic's actually up. That's one thing too, is that, you know, for business travelers, you kind of have to fly, and that's why you might see more prices at a place that's dominated by business travel. But other airports, you really see the traffic numbers go up and down, and people deciding to go or not go, or whether to visit home or not, or drive or fly based on the prices. People are pretty sensitive to this stuff for the most part.
Sure. Now, one of the airports that you selected, which I thought was interesting, because before the Northwest Delta merger, it was really a big Northwest hub, is Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis is a problematic airport. It's had a reputation for a long time as being expensive. So that is kind of the worst case scenario, is when you have an airport where you really only have one dominant carrier, especially if it's one of the kind of five, I guess now four, legacy carriers, as they're called. You know, Cincinnati, along the same lines, tends to be. Delta doesn't use it so much as a hub anymore, but still they dominate, I think, 80% of the market share. You know, Minneapolis is problematic. Cleveland,
right.
A lot of these places in the middle of the country tend to be dominated by one airline, and they often are quite overpriced.
All right, now I'll give you one that happened to me the other day. I mentioned it earlier in the show, but because you're on the air right now, we got to talk about it. I was trying to get somebody from Los Angeles to Las Vegas round trip, and it came out to like $249, or actually $229 each way. It was $458 round trip on a flight that lasts 38 minutes each way. And then I said, okay, what is it, Los Angeles to New York? Same airline, by the way. This is American. Los Angeles to New York round trip, it was $258.
Well, that's one thing, is if you look at like individual tickets, so we're just kind of averaging everything together, and it kind of makes sense, right? But individual tickets are actually very hard to predict their price, to kind of abstract the problem, because, you know, there is so much price discrimination based on when you book your ticket. It often is. I mean, you know, for example, another example, I don't know why you would fly from New York to Philadelphia, but you're allowed to do that on U.S. Air, and it's more expensive to fly from NYC to Philadelphia than from New York City to Los Angeles in most cases. So, you know, distance is one factor, but doesn't get you all that far in terms of explaining what the airfares are.
Well, here's another one. And they tried to explain it to me once at American Airlines that if you were flying from Austin to Dallas, and that was your only flight that day that you needed to go, you weren't continuing on, it was an $800 ticket. But if you wanted to go Austin to Tokyo, and by the way, that flight stops in Dallas, the ticket was something like $650. The reason why they did that and the reason why they were doing that, they were trying to discourage people just from taking seats on the Tokyo flight.
I mean, you know, sometimes you'll see all kinds of weird things. If you fly from Dayton to Detroit, for example, on Delta, that's a lot more expensive than flying from Dayton to New York with a layover in Detroit, which creates some, you know, potentially funny things you can do, which is a subject for another segment.
You're right.
I suppose. But you really can see all kinds of oddities and pricing, and really see when you have a competitive market versus a non-competitive one, how much difference it can make. I mean,
I got you. Nate Silver from the New York Times, of course, his website, 538.blogs.newyorktimes.com. We'll be back with more from Orange Beach, Alabama, right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Orange Beach, Alabama, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. My next guest I saw for the first time a year ago, just about a year ago, right here in Orange Beach. Actually, we were doing it from a restaurant called The Hangover. The Hangover. If you hang out long enough, you'll have a hangover.
Yeah, they both apply.
That's right. And nobody knows that better, of course, than the mayor of Orange Beach. How about that for a segue, sir? Tony Kennan, how are you?
Any better than that. Oh, thank you so much for being here.
Quite a year, huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's been an interesting year, but we've learned a lot from it.
What have you learned?
We've learned we can bounce back pretty much from anything. You know,
In retrospect, how bad was it?
Talk
reality and perception.
You know, anyone on the coast that deals with hurricanes think that that's a difficult issue to deal with. That's a piece of cake. This hung over our heads for 100-plus days. The emotional drain it took on our community because of the economic catastrophe that we suffered, and we consider ourselves the epicenter of that economic disaster. And so anyway, you know, we've learned. We've learned a lot, and we've learned to pull together. We figure out ways to make things happen when we didn't think we could. The perception, obviously, was really tough. We still deal with that. Up the I-65 corridor, which is our market, there are still folks up there that think we have oily beaches and oily critters and dead carcasses everywhere, which is, obviously, you see the furthest thing from the truth.
Exactly. But bottom line is that perception is what's going to kill you.
It is. But the media has really been... has bounced back and is here trying to help us. I'm just so appreciative of all the efforts that, they've really taken a personal interest in our plight, and I appreciate it.
From a numbers percentage, I talked about this early on the early show for CBS, and we were talking about a $100 million shortfall in revenue in Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, just in tourism revenue. And when you think about, you know, the tax base and how much of the state budget, how much of your budget comes from local taxes at hotels and resorts, that's directly driven by tourism.
Absolutely. 90%+ of our revenues are tourist-driven. So last year, like I said, we were the epicenter. It was catastrophic.
So what door do you knock on other than BP?
Your own. I mean, we have to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and figure it out, and that's what we've accepted, because the BP make you whole mantra has not necessarily proven to be true. So we have figured out a way. I think we're better for it. I mean, we're a better community.
So
we're a closer community.
So what you're saying is you're saying BP didn't step up to the plate as much as they should have.
Oh, absolutely not. And I don't want to play bad cop too much longer, but there's no doubt in my mind they have has perpetrated the greatest fraud on the United States of America that I've seen in a long time with this "we want to make them whole" mantra.
Because you don't feel whole.
No, absolutely not. It's not even close. Not even close. And we don't want anything for nothing. We feel like we just want fair compensation, just compensation as an injured party, not a victim. We're not victims. We're an injured party.
So walk me through this, because there's a claims process, meaning you have damages, you file a claim.
Right.
They either pay part of it, some of it, or all of it, or none of it.
Right.
Right? All right. And then what happens? Do you have to go to court?
That's your final option, is to sue, which in reality is not an option. Because most folks here, we're a family-oriented, generational business community without deep pockets. We don't have 10 years to wait out compensation. So that's not an option.
Wouldn't a lawyer take this on contingency in a second?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got attorneys everywhere down here trying to drum up cases. And that's appreciated because they're needed. But
right.
But the bottom line is it's just not an option, because we don't our folks do not have the pockets to support
them. So basically what you're saying is while we're waiting for BP to come to their senses, we're going to take it in-house and do it ourselves.
Absolutely. You know, we essentially were thrown at the mercy of Ken Feinberg, and that turned out to be that's not an option either. So we're figuring it out. That's the only way I know how to describe it.
When somebody comes down here, can they get involved still in helping to rebuild?
To be quite honest with you, we have gotten the beach cleaned up. We've gotten our waters cleaned up. I mean, we're 100%. There is nothing. You would never know there was an oil spill in Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, Alabama, if you were here today. And we made sure of that. And we had great help from the State House in Alabama, and we're going to continue to make sure. But we just want folks to come down here and enjoy themselves.
And right now it's a buyer's market.
Absolutely. It really is. And in every imaginable way, whether it be real estate, whether it be visiting, accommodations, restaurants, we want folks here. They'll never have a better vacation than they're going to have this year. I guarantee you that.
What's the wildest incentive you've heard to get people to come down here?
Oh gosh, you know they're all pretty. I would say just the concert tickets. We've had all types of concerts. I know last year we had Bon Jovi and Brad Paisley and Jimmy Buffett, and you get a room.
I never heard of Jimmy Buffett. Who's that?
We had 40,000 people heard of him. It was packed out. So it was a great day. But I think that was really interesting. We had folks calling. The phones were ringing off the hook for Jimmy Buffett tickets. And
that money all went?
Yeah. The tickets were free. They were given to the accommodations to help them promote and get folks heads in beds.
That's how you did it.
Yeah, so it worked out really, really great.
Great. So you still have occupancy issues, but the point is, if somebody's a smart traveler, smartest thing they could do is come on down here, because if you're renting a condo for $99 a night and you're throwing in a round of golf and
Absolutely.
Fishing,
yeah.
Come on.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and appreciate the Pinedo Beach Resort for hosting us.
You got it.
Thank you.
Was that a plug?
Yes, it was. Cheesy, wasn't it?
Yo,
but
bad.
I had to do it, man.
Bad. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
You got it, Mr. Mayor.
Now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour from Orange Beach, Alabama. Peter Greenberg here with you at the Perdido Beach Resort, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, problem, question, phone number, date of birth, favorite color, and astrological sign. I lied about all that, but we'll do our best to solve it right here on the air. Let's go right to the calls. We've got Daryl in New Braunfels, Texas. Hey, man.
Good morning. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing fine. How can I help you today?
Well, upon returning from a trip to Mexico, the final leg of a flight from Houston to San Antonio was canceled. According to the airline personnel, according to crew available, and I submitted requests for reimbursement to rent a car and return home to New Braunfels, since the next flight they could schedule was the following morning. In talking to their customer service representative about my reimbursement, they advised me that it was weather-related to a yellow flag day somewhere in the Northeast, which is thousands of miles away, and leads me to the question, can they always just use weather-related for a flight cancellation?
Well, they like to hide behind weather all the time. When you think about the fact that it's always going to be thunderstorming somewhere. However, in the hub and spoke, the way networks do their system, whether you're in New Braunfels or New York or New Brunswick, the plane hasn't stayed there for 5 years waiting for you. It's coming in from somewhere else. And if they can't crew the flight because of weather, then certainly down the road they can claim it's weather. However, having said that, I've had so many situations. I'll give you an example of what happened to me. I went to Chicago one day. I was trying to fly from Chicago to Boston. American Airlines had 4 flights scheduled to leave. United had 4 flights scheduled to leave, but United canceled their 4 flights claiming weather. So I said, wait a second. Either American Airlines has the most daredevil pilots in the world who are irresponsible and crazy, or someone's lying here. Well, guess what? Someone was lying. And when I brought it to their attention, I also had a small camera crew with me that was recording this. It's amazing how fast those four flights at United went to Boston. So they can always hide behind weather. But if they're telling you it's because of weather that's 2,000 to 3,000 miles away, and they can claim that your plane was coming from there, then they have a claim. But if they're claiming that it's weather from 3,000 miles away and your crew is coming from 5 hours east and this is west, we have another issue. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that was my question. Could they provide me the city from which the plane was coming so I could verify the weather problem that day?
And they couldn't?
They said they don't have to provide that information to a customer.
Well, they have to provide it to me. So here's the deal. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. You gave me the date you were flying, the flight number, and where you were going. And let's have some fun with this. I'm going to guarantee you by the time this show goes in the air in 2 weeks again, because it's going to take me a couple of days to research this, we're going to find out where that plane was coming. And then maybe we can tell the airline where they can go.
I would appreciate that very much, Peter.
All right. Anytime, man. I appreciate the call. Let's have some fun with this.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. By the way, I may be delayed getting back to you in case there's weather. Just kidding. No. All right, man. Thanks for the call. All right. I've got an email from an interesting name, Denavia in Del Mar. I have an interest in becoming a home-based travel agent. There are many agencies and businesses offering certification programs to obtain a license. I was wondering if you know of a reputable organization. I can only say this. Danger. Danger. Some of these organizations are nothing more than Ponzi schemes because they require you to spend $500 to become a quote-unquote travel agent. And the way you make your money, of course, is by selling travel to your friends and relatives at a, such a small percentage of a commission that you basically have to sell the entire country of Sri Lanka to make back your $500. I'd be very, very careful. And the first person you want to ask about this, I know it's going to sound like a conflict of interest, ask your local travel agent if they would hire you if you finish this course. And if the answer is yes, then take the course. If the answer is no, don't do it. Here's one from Shelley in Chicago, Illinois. Is it safe to travel to Morocco? I was thinking of traveling to Spain and Portugal and possibly to Morocco. And the answer is, yeah, it's safe. It's as safe to travel to Morocco as it is to just about anywhere else in the world as long as you practice common sense and pack it. It's amazing when you have 196 countries that there are only four places in the world I wouldn't go. And those are the places where no one's in control. Somalia, parts of the Congo, parts of Chechnya, and Newark, New Jersey. No, I'm kidding. No, but those three at least are the places I would say you don't want to go because literally there's nobody in control. I'll be going to North Korea later this year. You know why? I know who's in control. And up until recently, I would have gone to Libya because I know who's in control. So bottom line is, you go to Morocco and have a great time. Just make sure you practice the same common sense as you would back in Chicago, Illinois, which, by the way, has a higher crime rate than Morocco, I might add. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Orange Beach, Alabama, right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour from Orange Beach, Alabama, the Perdido Beach Resort. Well, we saved the best for last. She's shy. She's reserved. She doesn't have anything to say. She keeps to herself a lot. She's got a brother you've never heard of. Did I get it all right so far?
Yeah, I have a very, very significantly calm, and I don't do much life.
But you're a local.
I'm a total local. I'm born and bred here, raised.
And her name is Lucy Buffett.
Hi.
Hi, Lucy.
How
and you're
you?
Also the owner of Lulu's.
I am, Peter. It's now, a great place.
And the thing is, tomorrow night, Sunday night, doing a big dinner here on the beach, supper on the sand, basically to tell everybody, hey, we got through it, right?
Yeah, it's celebrating where we are and our recovery, basically.
And, I mean, you were here for all of it. So, I mean, you know, we talked to the mayor earlier. We've talked to a lot of the people who are locals here, also from the state. I mean, there's perception, then there's reality. I mean, look, the damage was real.
Right.
You can't mess with that. Those are real numbers, right?
Right. In terms of our damage, certainly we had environmental damage, but we had tourism damage.
Yeah.
Those dollars were really, really missing last year.
And what did you see at your place?
Well, we certainly saw a decrease in people, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's numbers. But we got busy and we got creative, and I'm an optimist.
And you made a phone call, got some guy to come and do a concert. What was his name again?
His name is Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for him. People kept saying, has he sang at your new place? Has he sang at your new place? And I'm like, no, that's work for him. And basically, you know, like all good Southern women, we made it be his idea, you know.
Sure.
We're the woman behind the guy.
So basically, he still has no idea that it was your idea.
Well, I sort of just said, you know, you could do it at Lulu's if you wanted to. He was looking at some other place, and then the next phone call was, I want to do it. And so, you know, yeah.
There you go. Amazing.
Yeah, it's the Scarlett O'Hara thing, honey. Anybody can do it.
Well, how did you Scarlett O'Hara the recovery then? Let's talk about that.
Well, I didn't.
You had your work cut out for you.
Yes, I did. And we were talking about books, and I was supposed to be writing a book last year, but I didn't. Because I started beating the drum for tourism. You know, Jimmy's concert was not about relief for environmental agencies. It was really about tourism to get people back. And so,
Well, let me ask you this
now.
Let's go back a little, do a little history with you. What brought you here and what makes you stay?
What brought me here to Gulf Shores is it's basically home. I was born, raised in Mobile, but when my family... That far away. But you see, you know, both of my parents worked at shipyards, and so...
Pascagoula.
In the beginning, and then Alabama Dry Dock.
Yeah.
So my dad for 35 years at Alabama, my mom for 30.
Building Navy destroyers and big tugboats?
Big stuff like that,
yeah.
And so when we would go to the beach... You'd either go to Dauphin Island or we'd come down here. It was a long drive, but we'd come with our umbrellas and the whole thing. And this is where I grew up, here in Mobile Bay.
Right.
Right.
And so you stayed.
I stayed. Well, no, actually, I came back. You know, I went around. I've lived all over. But when my parents were ill in their latter years, I came back and didn't know what I was going to do. I'd been living in Los Angeles and just came back to be with them and opened a little tiny dive on Weeks Bay up outside of Fairhope. And that evolved into what is now a 400-seat restaurant called Lulu's.
Right.
Yeah.
And some guy came and sang.
He did. He came and sang, and he's also a partner. He's part owner too. He loaned me a little tiny bit, tiny bit of money in the very beginning, and then when I moved my restaurant from Weeks Bay down here to Gulf Shores, he said, "Are you going to keep me as a partner?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" It was great. It was great when I was able to write him a check for the first time ever.
Wow!
Yeah, that was fun.
Wait. Did he cash it?
You know what? He went out. He sent his assistant out and cashed it right away in his accountant. Irwin said to me, "If you had sent it to me, we would have framed it." That's the truth. That's a true story.
That's nothing like the confidence and faith of a brother. Right?
I know.
I'm telling you.
He cashed it right away.
Are you cooking at this dinner?
Well, my restaurant. I have been known to cook for that many people. We're doing the gumbo. But I'm the gumbo person. I'm the go-to person for gumbo.
You're the go-to gumbo girl.
I am, baby.
I said that three times fast. The go-to gumbo girl. I love it.
That's me.
How many people are coming to this?
I think there's, 400 to 500 people?
Wow. That's a lot of gumbo.
Like
a lot of gumbo. A
lot of gumbo. And we still do our roux by hand. Back in our kitchen, we do it in 20-gallon. We have a big 20-gallon steam kettle. But I used to do it in a 5-gallon.
All right, can I ask the super question, what's in it?
Sure.
Go ahead, tell me.
Well, it's, first of all, we do a roux. You know, roux is fat and flour, basically.
Yeah.
And then it's the Holy Trinity vegetables, which are onion, celery, green pepper. That's browned in it. And then, of course, this is seafood gumbo. And we don't put fish. We don't take any shortcuts. It'll be shrimp and crab meat and crab claws.
Wow. And no skimping on any of that?
No. Okra, tomato.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Got to have some okra tomato in there to pull it together. That's what gumbo is, okra. That's the African word for okra.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I did not know that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah,
Aren't we learning something today? Isn't it amazing? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just gumbo tomorrow.
I'm just gumbo, but I'm also co-hosting, and I'll say a few words.
No, you're incapable of saying a few words.
That's entirely true.
And on that happy note, tomorrow night, of course, Supper on the Sand, right here in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Lucy Buffett, the owner of Lulu's, and some guy who cashes checks who comes and sings every once in a while.
That's right. Yes.
All right. That music means we are out of time for the show, ladies and gentlemen. Lots of people to thank. Of course, Chris doing the engineering work for us, Chris Wiggins. Thank you so much, man. His father, by the way, lead flyer with the Blue Angels. We love this guy. John Calabro in New York doing the boards. Chrissy McIntyre, our producer here. Kim Chapman, of course, and Christine Nicholas and the staff of the Perdido Beach Resort Hotel and Bowling Alley. Okay, I lied about the bowling alley. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.